You're listening to Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Hanat Baba. Since 2009, Contra Costa County has been leasing beds at its jail, the West County Detention Center in Richmond, to Immigration and Customs Enforcement, ICE. Nearly 200 immigrants facing deportation were detained there, awaiting hearings to decide their fates. As of late last week, ICE had transferred all of those detainees to other sites, many of them to Colorado, others to Washington. KALW's immigration reporter Nina Gensler-Debs is here to give us a sense of what that means for the Bay Area. Right, Nina?
I will definitely try.
Okay, so first, can you give us context of why people are being moved in the first place?
Sure. So about a month ago, Contra Costa County Sheriff David Livingston announced that the county was ending its contract with ICE. Mm-hmm. And that was big news. It came after several other counties around the country canceled their contracts with ICE, places like Sacramento, Springfield in Oregon, or Alexandria in Virginia. So Livingston said he was doing it for a number of reasons. The biggest one seemed to be budget, so the contract wasn't bringing in as much income as he wanted for the county. Mm-hmm. But he also cited a rising tide of protests and community tension about their relationship with ICE. Faith organizations have held vigils at the detention center for years, since 2011, and there have been more and more protests organized at the detention center in this last year. The announcement to cancel the contract from Livingston was actually made shortly after several thousand protesters gathered in the parking lot. They were protesting family separations mm-hmm. and advocating for immigrant rights. And Livingston said that sending deputies out for crowd control and managing these kind of protests were becoming expensive.
So this sounds like a victory for immigration advocates, right?
Not quite. A lot of them have reacted with mixed feelings because, on one hand, the end of the contract means ICE no longer has the same presence in Richmond. Mm-hmm. But on the other hand, the West County Detention Facility is the only Bay Area jail that houses undocumented immigrants. So activists and advocates knew this could mean that detained immigrants could be moved farther away from their families and from their attorneys to more distant facilities. Uh-huh. And so that means community support would be more limited and that those detained people might lose their lawyers because their lawyers are based here.
Right.
And that really matters because the American Immigration Council found that detained immigrants who had lawyers were way more likely to win their cases. 21% versus a 2% chance for unrepresented detainees.
10 times. All right. Well, it sounds like advocates knew people might get transferred and that the stakes were high. So why does it seem people were not expecting this? Why are they surprised?
So when Sheriff Livingston decided to end the ICE contract, that started this countdown. Contracts with ICE can only be canceled with 120 days notice, which would be sometime in November. Mm-hmm. And that would mean all detainees would be out by November. So there was this big scramble after the announcement to get every detainee legal representation, because the thought process was if everyone has a lawyer, then it's less likely that they're going to be transferred far away.
But then that's not what happened.
No. So a little over a week ago, lawyers and advocates and family members learned that a lot of the detainees had already been transferred to other detention centers, most of them out of state. Mm-hmm. So at the end of last week, everyone is gone. They're saying this is really sudden and argue that this move shows that ICE is trying to retaliate against the closure.
Okay, so what does ICE have to say?
Well, an ICE spokesman told me that the transfers shouldn't come as any surprise to activists. The agency issued a statement in defense of the transfer saying, when ICE is not allowed to work with local jurisdictions to house detainees closer to their families, friends, and attorneys, farther facilities must be utilized.
Okay, so what now?
Well, I think that advocates and family members are still trying to figure that out. But they started last week with a protest outside of the building where San Francisco immigration courts are housed. And at that rally, a lot of people kept saying that this is a violation of due process. Esperanza Coautle, director of operations at Pangea Legal Services, explained.
And being away, that is just depriving them from that right. That is a constitutional right of them being able to fight a case with witnesses and with evidence. It's also violating due process because it's preventing people from accessing a bond hearing and also presenting witnesses, presenting evidence.
So the majority of the time, even when they're being held locally, detainees can't actually physically attend their hearings. Mm-hmm. They generally video teleconference, which everyone refers to as VTC, from wherever they're being held. But even so, being in California seems to make a big difference. That was pretty evident from two cases that were being tried at court the same day of the rally. Actually, in addition to protesting these transfers, this rally was supposed to raise awareness about these two men.
So tell us about those cases.
So the first one was for a man named Hugo Aguilar. He had been arrested for alleged domestic violence, but no charges were ever filed. He was picked up by ICE as he was leaving the Santa Rita jail. Mm-hmm. And after a year and a half of waiting in detention at West County, he was finally up for a bond hearing, where a judge can decide whether to release him for a fee. But shortly before that hearing, he was transferred out of West County, like all the other detainees.
Right.
But he was able to stay in state at the Yuba Detention Center. The judge ruled that Aguilar could be released on an $80,000 bond. Hugo's sister, Isila Aguilar, spoke to activists outside the court.
Thank you so much. Today is a great day. After more than a year and 5 months, so it's hard without him. So now we have news for his kids, for our parents. So thanks God. I know there is still so much that we have to work on this, but thank you.
So good news for the Aguilars, right?
Yeah, as long as they can raise that bond money. But things did not go quite as well in the other case that was tried that day.
Okay, tell us about that one.
So I was actually in the courtroom for that one, a hearing for a man named Misael Quesada Flores. He was one of the detainees that got transferred last week, but he got transferred out of state to a facility in Colorado. Uh-huh. Before he was moved, he had this hearing scheduled. He's applying for something called withholding of removal, which is kind of like asylum. A judge can grant it to someone who demonstrates that it's likely they'll be persecuted in their home country. His lawyer, Emilio Parker, told me his client had been repeatedly attacked by federal police in Mexico. Mm. So this was supposed to be his third and final hearing in the case. And if he won, he would be released after about a year and a half at detention, mm-hmm. like Aguilar.
Yeah.
I wasn't allowed to record inside, so you can't hear it. But you could feel the tension in that room. Every single seat was taken. And pretty much everyone in the audience, his wife, immigration advocates, was there to support him. Mm. But then the judge walked in, and you could tell right away he was really frustrated. He told the courtroom that the facility in Colorado couldn't arrange for Quesada Flores to VTC, remember that's video teleconference, right, into the hearing like he was supposed to, because officials over there had told him, the judge, that all the lines were in use for cases that were within Colorado's jurisdiction, and those got precedence.
So the hearing didn't even happen.
No, and everyone was stunned, including his lawyer, who didn't know. And then the judge added that the Department of Homeland Security, or DHS, has filed a motion to move his case to Colorado. In fact, the judge says that a lot of these motions have come in to move local deportation cases to other states. Mm-hmm. And Emilio Parker, Misael Quesada Flores' lawyer, is not happy about this.
We don't know when a decision is going to be made or when and if he's going to have a court date, or we don't know anything. At this point, we've prepared over a period of 3 months, this case. His family doesn't have the resources to hire a new attorney in Denver and or to have us go out to Denver.
So why would he need a new attorney?
So if Quesada Flores weren't transferred back to California, which is what his family and lawyer want, Parker says it would probably be impossible to continue to represent him because he couldn't fly out of state to be there. Family just can't afford it. And if the case was moved, it's also likely that it would be moved to the back of the line. And Colorado has some of the worst immigration court backlog in the country. Not only that, Parker says, but this case is urgent. Quesada Flores' wife, Fatima, she's here in the Bay Area, and she's 6 months into a high-risk pregnancy. She recently almost suffered a miscarriage, and she needs him at home to help with the new baby, she says.
So what happens now?
Well, I just found out that the motion to move his case to Colorado was denied. So the case will remain here in San Francisco. Quesada Flores will have his hearing on September 21st through VTC. So then we'll see whether the judge grants him withholding of removal. But while they were able to keep that case here locally, my guess is that this kind of process will be happening with a number of the detained people who were moved out of state. And it's unclear whether all of them will be able to keep their cases here. The San Francisco Public Defender's Office and other legal aid groups have already filed lawsuits demanding the release of several immigrants who were recently transferred out of West County. We'll continue to follow that to see what happens.
Okay. Well, thank you, Nina.
Thanks, Sana.
Nina is our immigration reporter. This piece was co-produced by our justice reporter, Holly J. McDeed.